In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. Hallelujah. Did I hear an amen out there? Listen, what is the biggest thing that troubles people with the Lord? What is the biggest thing that you'll be dealing with every single day of your life until you breathe your last? What is that big thing? And the big thing I see, whether you just gave your life to Jesus or you've taken it back again or whatever it is trust, that we trust the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, our image of God is far too small. And I have heard so many people say to me, you know, Father Tom, God is so busy and he's got all these millions and billions of people to think about. Why would he think about me? And I just want to say that's not the God that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus. Because the God that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus said to his people, it was not because you were the greatest people in the world. It was not because you were the most beautiful people in the world, Israel, but I decided to put my love upon you, to place my love upon you. So, you know, and if we really want to know who God is, we need to look at Jesus. Because the scripture says Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the image of the invisible God. So therefore, whatever Jesus does, he sees the Father doing. Remember what he said in John's Gospel, "I only do what I see the Father doing." So therefore, if he's the image of the invisible God, and he only does what the Father does, and he does what he sees the Father doing, and he says what he hears the Father saying, then that's why, you know, I don't understand this, that most people that are not Catholic or Orthodox, they spend, so we'll call them, I don't want to call them Protestants because most people aren't protesting. But most people that aren't Catholic spend little time in the Gospels. They spend most of their time with St. Paul. I love St. Paul. Okay, I love St. Paul. But most people that are not Catholic don't spend much time in the Gospels. And yet the Gospels are the whole experience of Jesus that God wants us to know. That if he's the image of the invisible God, then we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus in the revelatory writings of the Gospels especially. Does that make sense? It makes sense to me. But most people that are not Catholic or Protestant, call them what you want, they don't spend much in the Gospels. It's St. Paul, and I love St. Paul. Because St. Paul, the letter of the Colossians says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. But if that be true, then where do we find this? We find it in the Gospels. You want to know what the Father is all about? Then you see what Jesus is doing. So that's what we're going to see today, what Jesus is doing. And we know what Jesus did, but you know what? Maybe we need to know what Jesus did so that we can have a greater experience of the Father. And so that we can trust God. You see, that's the whole thing. It's in trusting God. Most people don't trust God. You know, they can say whatever they want to say, but it's in the trust that great things happen. Okay, so let's look at Jesus, okay? We're going to look at Jesus, and we're going to see the Father, okay? Because the image of the invisible God, and Jesus always does what he sees the Father doing. So let's look at Jesus with the man that was totally possessed in the Gadarenes, okay? The scripture tells us, and I don't have to read it, but I will tell you, the scripture tells us that they used to tie him down, he used to break the chains, and that he had so many demons in them, and that he was in a place of the Gentiles that they put him in that place called the Gadarenes. Because how do I know it was the Gentiles? Because Jesus called that demon, the legion, out of him to go into the pigs. There are no pigs in Palestine, okay? They're unclean animals. So Jesus cared for this person who was completely, totally out of his mind. And he brought the man not only mental health, but spiritual health. And he was in his right mind again. And he wanted to follow Jesus. And what does it say when he wanted to follow Jesus? Go home and tell what God has done for you. Isn't that interesting? And the scripture says he went home and told what Jesus did for him. Jesus, the image of the invisible God. The Father cared about this poor soul. And Jesus only did what the Father did. Let's take the widow at Nain. This widow at Nain is another one. This is another poor bum, okay? She had lost her husband, and this was her only son. Now, they're on their way to the cemetery, all right? Get the picture. We have a wailing mother who's left with nothing. Husband's gone, son gone. Wailing mother. Destitute, so to speak. Emotionally, has nothing to give. Jesus has compassion on the mother and touches the bier and raises the man from the dead. If Jesus raises the dead, the Father raises the dead, because Jesus does what the Father does. Listen to this now. This is compassion to the nth degree. This is compassion to the nth degree. Take the woman at Samaria, the fourth chapter of St. John. She was a loose woman. She had five husbands, and the husband she was living with now was not her husband. So she would be a person that, you know, people would not respect. But you know what? It was noon. Jesus goes, sits by the well, and she comes at noon. That's a crazy time to come at noon because it's siesta time in Israel. But she comes at noon because she was mocked by the women. The women carry the water. Nobody be at the well at 12 o'clock because the sun is high and it's hot and everybody's home. But that's when she came. She was a woman that was scorned by people. And Jesus says, give me a drink. First of all, the Jewish custom was you don't talk to women. And most of all, you don't talk to loose women. Because even the disciples, when they came back, wondered why he was talking to her. Even the disciples had questions about why Jesus was talking to her. You know? Their minds were dirty. But he had compassion upon this woman. And he said, if you had only asked me, I would have given you living water. Oh, I need that living water. I won't have to come down to this well anymore and draw. And I won't have to listen to all these witches who make fun of me. Go call your husband. I have no husband. You are right. You have no husband. And the man that you're living with now is not your husband. You've had five of them. Sir, you must be a prophet. But you know what? She was trying to get away from Jesus touching her pain. You must be a prophet. Jews worship in Jerusalem. We worship on this mountain. Listen. Jesus said, I'm not talking about worship now. The Father desires worship in spirit and truth. He's looking for that kind of worship. But you know what? I'm here to fix you. Don't talk about what mass should I go to, or, you know, am I a Catholic or a Protestant? I want to fix you. I want to fix you. And the scripture said she left her water jar. Isn't that amazing? To leave your water jar in Israel is to leave life, because water equals life. And she left her water jar. And she went into the town as an evangelist to tell everybody what Jesus did. And he didn't make her feel guilty or tormented. That's the Father. The Father. The Father is this kind of God that doesn't want his people tormented, even those people that aren't his people. He wants them to know his love. And Jesus cared for this woman, cared for this woman. So I'm saying all these beautiful happenings, can you trust the Lord? He's the image of the invisible God. Can you trust? Okay, let's look further. First of all, Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors. They were despised. Jesus cared for the despised. Guess who the Father cares for? The despised. You know, if you're despised, I want to tell you, you have preferential treatment from Jesus if you'd only trust him. And from the Father, if you'd only trust him. If you're despised. Yeah, these were the despised people, sinners and tax collectors. Prostitutes. Imagine Jesus let a prostitute wash his feet with oil and tears. You want to know why? Because the Father, looking for prostitutes, that their lives would be changed, that this is no way to live your life. God gives the power and the grace to change. This is Jesus. This is the Father. You see, he's the image of the invisible God. If we want to know what the Father is doing, we need to look at Jesus. My Lord, this is like, why can't we trust him? Like, why can't we trust him? We go further. Remember the man born blind? They threw him out of the town in John 9. They threw him out of the town. His parents wouldn't stand up for him. His parents would not stand up for him. You know why? They preferred the honor of men more than the honor of God. I won't even go down that street when it comes to the church, but you know what I would say. The honor of God. But you know what? This is Jesus. He goes outside the town, outside the city, where the man now sees. But the man's alone like a dog, left by his family. Family won't own him. Left by the community. Left by his relatives. Left outside the city. Outside the walls of Jerusalem. But Jesus goes after him. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe? I who am speaking to you, I am he. And the man began to worship. Another outcast. Are you an outcast today? Oh my, you qualify. You qualify if you're an outcast today. You qualify, people, but let me also tell you this. You will not get anything unless you start trusting him. Your image of him is too small and mine is too small. That's why the Gospels tell us who the Father is. As we look at Jesus, we see the Father. God doesn't hold anything against you. You hold it against yourself. Once you have gone to confession, you are forgiven. The blood cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sin. But you know, our image of God is too small. Our image of who God is too tiny. That's why the Gospels need to be pondered, read, digested over and over again. That's why Mother Church, one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church gives us the gospel at every service, at every Mass, because the gospels are preferential readings. They are preferential. They show us who Jesus is. They show us who the Father is, and that God is worthy to be trusted, worthy to be trusted with your whole life, with your finances, with your sexuality, with your marriage, with your priesthood, with your everything. He is worthy to be trusted. That's why one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, in her wisdom, gives us the Gospels, that we might see who Jesus is, and that we might trust in the Lord with all of our heart, trust in the Lord and do good, so that you shall dwell in the land. Oh yes, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prepareth in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Oh, trust in the Lord. He is worthy to be trusted. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And then you will see the Father. You will see the Father caring for the poorest of the poor, caring for the bums, caring for the reprobates, caring for the sinners, caring for the tax collectors. Oh, but not only caring, but bringing them into the kingdom of light. For He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of light, St. Paul says to the Colossians, and it is by His blood and the merits of His cross. Shall I continue? Oh, you can go on forever. You could go on forever and ever. To see Jesus is to see the Heavenly Father. Why? Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus only does what the Father does. Jesus only says what the Father says. And why don't we read the Gospels? So the more you read the Gospels with this kind of a slant, you can trust God with all of your heart, trust Him with your finances, trust Him with your breath, trust Him with what the doctors say. I tell you, my friends, trust in the Lord, do good, trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord. Your image of God is too small. My image of God is too small. We need to be converted from the inside out, that we would see Jesus. Oh, I love it when that blind man looked up and saw the face of Jesus. Oh, my Lord, the one who is speaking to you, I am He. He is the one who opened His eyes. He is the one who gazed into now His eyes that see. Oh, yes, He had lost His family, had lost His friends, He had lost His community, but Jesus was there for him. This is it. This is like Jesus is there for you. Jesus is there for you, for me, for us. Shall I go on further? Oh, I could go on further with the happenings in the gospel. But the greatest happening was when Jesus was nailed to the cross naked, when He died for our sins, when He gave His life for us, when our backs were against Him. It was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous. God the Father so loved the world that He gave His only Son in crucifixion for us. Oh, Abraham, offer your son on a mountain, I will show you. And God did not require the blood of Isaac, but required the blood of His only Son for our salvation. And His Son did it willingly. It is the Father's love for humanity, for you, for me. Oh, what wondrous love is this, O my soul, what wondrous love is this, that you gave your only son for a slave that I am. You gave up your only son for a slave. Oh, happy fault, oh, necessary sin of Adam that has gained for us such a redeemer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Rely not upon your own understanding. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He is worthy of your trust and worthy of my trust. And as we see who God is in the face of Jesus, in the actions of Jesus, the image of the invisible God, oh, maybe we would be able to trust Him more rather than to hold back. You see, it's really all about trust. It's really all about trust. If you can't trust Him with your money, how can you trust Him with your life? If you can't trust Him with your money, how can you trust Him with your sexuality? When filthy lucre means so much to you that you cannot trust Him with your money, how can you trust Him with your life? How can you trust Him with your sexuality? How can you trust Him at all? That if we are not faithful in little things with money, money's important to God. I'm going to tell you it's important. He talks more about money than heaven. If we can't trust Him with our money and giving our alms and our tithe and whatever we're supposed to give and more, how can we trust Him with anything else? Oh, I love the people that used to say to me when I hit the mega bucks, Father, listen, I don't want your money when you hit the mega bucks. You want to know why? You're not going to hit the mega bucks. But you know what? God delights in what you give out of your need. I received money from somebody who has nothing, okay? And I used to rip up the checks. You know what the Lord said? Don't you dare rip up those checks anymore. Don't you dare. They're giving to me. And that looses things for them. Not only when you give to it, things get loosed, but don't you dare rip up those checks anymore. I thought I was being good. I thought I was being kind. Trust in the Lord and do good. Yeah, and let me just tell you this. God sees everything. He sees all that we are and all that we give. Not only with the money, but with time, with care, with patience. That's God. It seems now that people don't have time to care for people. We're all so busy, aren't we? We're all so busy. We're all so busy. But God sees it. I don't even have to remind Him about it. God sees it. And let me tell you what God sees. He repays. Now, He doesn't have to. God doesn't have to repay anything to me. Once He gave Jesus, He doesn't have to do anything else. He didn't even have to do that. But you know what? No one can outgive God. No one can outgive God. I'm not talking money only. I'm talking caring, loving people, hearing their pain. praying with them, caring for them. You cannot outgive God. But you see, it's all about trust. Let me just tell you this. If I have priests and ministers, listen to me. Don't worry about burnout. Oh, yeah, you got to care about yourself a little. But listen, don't rust out, people. I'd rather you burn out than rust out, okay? Because most people are not on the level of burning out because we are so conscious about ourselves that, my Lord, who's going to interrupt my time? That's most people. Now, there are exceptions, but the exceptions are few, believe me. And those are the people that need to spend time for themselves. But I want to tell you, we make time for ourselves because we're important. And we know people aren't going to disturb us here and disturb us there. I'm going to tell you, thank you, Jesus, that you were disturbed on Good Friday. And you were disturbed in such a way that you went to the cross out of love for me. And you died for me so that I would live and that I'd have eternal life. And that the Spirit of God would dwell in me through your powerful death and resurrection. I want to thank you. You were disturbed for me, and I'm so grateful. Hallelujah! We care too much about self. But, you know, it's all about me, generation. It's all about me. Well, let me tell you, honey, after you're dead, they'll say, Father, who? It's not about me. It's about him. How do I want to leave today? I want you to look at the Gospels and I want you to trust the Lord. And if you can't trust him, keep on reading the Gospels and see how the Father is and see how Jesus is. And you can trust someone like this. And then you read 19th chapter of St. John about the cross. And then you can trust somebody like this who gave his life for us while we were yet sinners. So Mr. Obama now is going to be giving so much money for contraception, that's all part of his package. And the Speaker of the House, that lady, I call her a witch, but that's another question. She says she's a practicing Catholic. Yeah, she's practicing all right. She hasn't never got it right yet. That's another issue. But she says, you know what? It'll lower the population. That's what you need to do, lower the population. They're all into baby killing. That's it. Mr. Obama is a baby killer. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Who does he belong to, huh? If he's a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, who does he belong to? I don't have to tell you, because the Bible tells you. Behold,
I stand at the door and knock. This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.